Here we're holding Daf Ayin Vav Omer Aleph by the two dots. That Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said over the name of Shmuel that Hamachlif Poro B'chamor. If two people want to make an exchange, one person, Reuven, owns a poro, owns a cow, and Shimon owns a chamor, a donkey, and they want to exchange it. So he says, you take my poro, and I'll take your chamor instead. Now what happened was, Umoshach Bal HaChamor Es HaPoro. The one that owns the donkey, he went to the other person's house that has the cow and made a mashicha. He was like koine the poro. He started to drag the poro, the cow, into his rishus. So he made a maisa mashicha. So the Bal HaChamor was koine, now owns the poro. And the halacha this kinyan chalipin is that as soon as he made a mashicha in the poro, as soon as he took the poro into his rishus, automatically his chamor, his donkey, is konui to the other person, to the Baal of the poro. Now what happened was, v'loi hispik Baal ha-poro limshech es ha-chamor achem es ha-chamor. Now when the Baal ha-poro came to get his donkey, when he went to make the mashiach on the donkey, he came out, he found the donkey was dead. Achem es ha-chamor, the chamor died. So the question is now, when exactly did the chamor die? If the chamor, the donkey, died before he made a mashiach on the poro, before the Baal HaChamor was moshech, made a kinyan in the poro, then it's tough, then the kinyan is not chal. You can't be kind of my poro and give me back a dead chamor. The exchange was, you could take my cow if you give me back your donkey. So then the kinyan would not be chal. But if at the time when you made the mashiach on the poro, the chamor was alive, so then the pshat is the kinyan was chal. And the chamor now belongs to the Baal HaPoro. And the chamor died later. So it's like tough luck on the Baal HaPoro. He lost out. It's like his donkey died. So that's the question. At what time did it die? So Rav Yehuda Mashmul says that our Baal HaChamor lohavi raya shoye chamor rakayim b'shas mashichas poro. That the one that owns the chamor, in other words, the person that now already took the poro into his rishus, and he's like a muchzik, he's holding on to the cow, he like has to give the cow back. Unless he could bring a proof to say that his donkey was alive at the time when he took the poro. If he can prove it to bring Edim that the donkey was alive then, so then at the time when he took the other person's cow, automatically the donkey now was koni, belongs to the Baal HaPoro, and it died late obviously, so then the Baal HaPoro loses out. But if the Baal HaChamor can't bring this for proof, so that's Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's Chiddush, that the Baal HaChamor has to like give back the poro, and he loses out the poro. We say then that the chamor died like first, and therefore you have no right to keep the poro. That's his Chiddush. And he adds on and says, V'tana tuna kala. I have a proof from our Mishnah, for the loch about a kala, the last Mishnah we had, where a man is mekadish his wife on a tanai, that she does not have any mumim, and then later we find out that she has mumim. So from that Mishnah, I have a proof to what I'm saying, that the Baal HaChamor has to give back the poro. So Mori has the kasha, hi kala, from which part of our Mishnah, from which Mishnah do you have a proof like this, that even though you're holding on to the poro, still you have to give it back? Where do we see that you have to give back the money that you're holding on to? So Elaim, if you want to tell me that kala b'vesaviha, I'll bring you a proof from the Reisha of our Mishnah. So the Reisha is going on that after they made Erusin, after the husband married her, made Kedushin, and she's still living by her father's house. If there we found out that she has a mumin, she has a mum, so the Reisha of the Mishnah says that the father has to bring a proof if he wants to receive the ksuba that she did not have the mum b'shas Kedushin. But if he can't bring the proof, then we say that most probably the mum was there v'shas kedushin, and she doesn't deserve to get a ksuba, she doesn't get anything. So you see what? The father has to bring the proof. So the Gemara says, mi dami, what does one have to do with the other? Hosa maisi avraya o mafik. Over there it's very good that we say the father has to bring a proof to say that she did not have any mumim, his daughter did not have any mumim b'shas kedushin. Why? Because there it's a question, does the husband have to pay the ksuba or not? So if the father, like for his daughter, for the kala, wants to receive a ksuba, get the ksuba out of the husband, he wants to be moitzi mumin. So therefore he has to bring a proof before he gets money away from the husband. But hoch, in our case over here, what happened? The chamor died, true. But the Baal HaChamor was already holding on to the poro. He already made a mashiach on the poro. Zechurahocha, Maisi, Balachamor, Raya, Mukim. Here all the Balachamor has to do, just bring a proof and keep what he has. So where's the proof from our Mishnah to such a Yisoid that you have to bring a proof to keep what you have? So Gemara says, Amar Rababa, Rababa says, Enachnami, the Raya is from the Sefer, the Mishnah. The Sefer says, Kala Bebeis Chamiya, if they already have Nesuyin, that she's now living by the husband's house, by the Shver, like by her father-in-law's house, by the Shver, by the husband, and there it says, now the husband has to pay the Ksuba. Unless the husband can bring a proof that she did not, unless the husband could bring a proof that she had these mumim even b'shas kedushin, then we say like the kedushin is not chal, so I can make it toys. Therefore, he does not have to pay the ksuba. So here we see a case that the husband himself like has to bring a proof in order to like keep the ksuba. So you see, even though it's a question of keeping the money you have, still you have to prove it. Gemara says no, v'yakati lo domi, still there's no, it's not, one is not like the other one. Hosam atayu v'deya baal maisi raya, umor lele chazoke. Diav, it's very good over there why the husband has to bring a proof to say that he does not have to pay the ksuba. And if he doesn't bring the proof, then he does have to pay the ksuba. You know why? Because over there the question is, did she have these mumin at the time of the kedushin or not? Now these mumim were talking about something wrong with the body that for sure grew first later. So in other words, when she was born, she did not have these mumim. So therefore there's a cheska saguf to say the same way she was when she was born, that she did not have these mumim, most probably at the time of the Kedushin, she also did not have the mumim. So the cheska saguf says that Peshas Kedushin, Kedushin was chal, that's why the husband has to pay her a ksuba, unless the husband can bring a proof that she had these mumim even Peshas Kedushin. Here, what are we saying? The Balachamor can't keep the para unless he brings a proof that his chamor first died later. If he can't bring a proof, then we say the Balachamor has to give back the para. Why? Because we're going to say most probably the chamor died even before he made the kinyan on the para. The question is why? There's the cheskes chai, there's cheskes aguf. We know the chamor, the donkey, was alive yesterday. Now, we know at 9 o'clock today in the morning, he made the kinyan on the parah. And 11 o'clock, we first found out the chamor was dead. So our question is, how was the chamor at 9 o'clock? Was the chamor alive or not? The chur, there should be a cheskes aguf to say, just like he was alive yesterday, most probably 9 o'clock in the morning is still alive. So chur, again, there should be a cheskes aguf to say the chamor was alive. If so, why does the Bala Chamor have to bring a proof in order to keep the parah? He should be able to keep the parah anyway. That's still the question. There's no raya for now, Mishnah. So Gemara says, Omar Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchok, Kal Rabbeis Aviya. We're going back that the proof is from the first case of our Mishnah, in a case with the Kala, where she's still by her father's house. So there the question is, we say that the husband does not have to pay her a ksuba unless the father can bring a proof to say that she did not have the mumin at the time of the kedushin. So there the clue, the question was, there it's very good because they want to be mitzi the mumin. They want to get the ksuba out of the father, out of the husband. Where's their proof to keep money? The teretz is ulu kedushin. We're talking about the question is the kesef hakedushin. When the husband was mekadesh, married his wife, he gave her money. He was mekadesh with kesef. Now later when we find out she has mumin, it's like a mekach tois, so true, the Rashi says the husband doesn't have to pay her a ksuba. But the question is, does the husband have a right to get back the money he gave her? Could the husband get back that money? So that we say no, that the husband gets the money back unless the father can bring a proof to say that Bishas Kedushin she didn't have the mumin. So we see even to keep the money the father has, a kesef kedushin, also he has to prove it. That's the proof to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And the Gemara says, "V'loy tein medon seder aliba deman deyoma kedushin lav l'tivuya nitnu." Now this is the machlokes in the Gemara Baba Basra. One man deyoma says, "Let's say a man is mekadesh anisha, and then he dies. The man. The question: what do you have to do with the ring? Does the ring go back to the husband to his yorshim or not?" So one man deyoma says, "Kedushin is lav l'tivuya nitnu. Like when you give the kesef kedushin, you never give it to let it stay by her." If the husband dies, he has the right to get it back, his Yorshim take it back. So don't say we're going at that over here. Even a man diyama that says no, when the husband gives away, marries his wife, like he gives her the money no matter what, even in the case that he's going to die later, he doesn't expect to get the money back. Even so, I'll tell you, Hanin Mili, when do we say that svara, that kedushin is letivuyin? Tivuyin on the Mefarshim side is said in Lush like Tfiyam. Flovdin, like the husband, loses it. He gives it to his wife that she could keep it. When do we say that svara, Hanin Mili, kedushin vaday? Well, you married your wife, vaday, for sure. If you married her for sure, then we say you give her the money and she has a right to keep it. I will hear in our case, kedushin tois. When you married your wife, it was a condition that she didn't have any mumin. If later we find out that she does have a mumin, so it's a suffix, maybe she had these mumin even at the time of the kedushin. So therefore we say you don't have to pay her ruksuba. And the question is, though, that you want to get the money back also. The husband has a right to get back his money, unless the father could prove it, that the father only keeps the kesef of kedushin, if he could prove that she did not have the mumin at the time of the kedushin. So if the father brings a proof to say that she did not have the mumin, then the father, like she keeps the kesef of kedushin. But if she can't bring a proof, if the father can't bring a proof that she did not have these mumin at the time of the kedushin, then we say the kesef of kedushin goes back to the husband. So you see, even to keep on to the money you have, also you have to bring a proof. So that's the raya from our Mishnah to Yehuda Mashmul. And this the Gemara says, Mitzvah, you have a kasha. It's the Gemara in Chul that says about Hilchos Treifas, Machet, if you find a needle, she nimtzes b'yuve beis hakoisis, mitzad echad ksherim, beis hakoisis, that's like part of the stomach of an animal. If you find a needle there, you shechted the animal, and now when you cut it open, you find a needle stuck through the stomach. So it depends. Mitzad echad, the needle only goes through one side. It's not, but it did not puncture a hole straight through from one side to the other side. Then ksherim, that's not called a treifa. But mishneit stadim treif, let's say the needle went straight through on both sides of the skin that it came out, a complete hole straight through, that's called a treif. The animal is treif, you can't eat this animal. Now nimtzale kerudam, let's say you find some blood on top of this hole, then biyaduwa shulufnei shchita. Then we know for sure that the animal is a treif. We know for sure this hole took place before you shechted the animal when it was still alive. Therefore, at the time of the shchita was a treif. What about lo nimtzale kerudam? Let's say no, when you find this hole with the needle, you don't find any blood on the top of it. Is biyadua, we know for sure, shuliach ha-shchita. That what happened was, at the time of the shchita, true, the needle was in the stomach, but it didn't puncture a hole through. The hole first came through after you shechted the animal, by throwing the animal down, that's when the needle went through. So therefore, it's kosher, because once you made the shchita, you can't make a treif afterwards. Then it says, what about huglad pi hamaka? Let's say there was blood there, and the blood became hard, it was like a scab, you found a scab on top where the needle is. Then we say, b'yadua sheshleishu yavam koidim shchita. Then we say that this hole took place, and as the animal became a treifa, 3 days ago. That's what's nageya to us, we'll soon see. But loy huglad pi hamaka, let's say where the needle went through, the blood, it's still like wet. It's not dried out, it's not a scab yet. Then the loch is ha-meitzim echaver ol avaraya. Then it's a question of being meitzim echaver ol avaraya. In other words, the question is like this, that the butcher went down to the farmer to buy the animal off the farmer, and let's say he paid the money. Now later, when the butcher takes and makes a shchita, if he finds out that the animal is a treifa, so who's like a mekach tois? I didn't buy a treifa, I meant to buy a kosher animal. So if he could prove it, that it was a treifa before you bought it, then you get your money back. See if there's a scab on this hole. So we know that the hole took place 3 days ago, and you just bought the animal yesterday. So that's called the mekach tois, you get your money back. But let's say there's no scab on top of the hole, so we don't know exactly when did the hole take place. Did the treifas come before you bought it, or after you bought it? So in such a case, it says it's hamoitz mechver all over raya. What does that mean? V'yoyiv tapach demei, if the butcher already paid the farmer for the animal, so boila suya raya, that the butcher has to bring a proof, humafik, and it takes away the money. He gets back his money. But if he can't bring a proof, then we say the farmer has a right to keep the money. The question is why, according to Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, why v'yamai? L'chura baal behema laisi raya v'nukim. V'nukim, why don't we tell the farmer, he has to bring a proof in order to keep the money. That's what Yehuda Rav is saying, that even though you're muchzik in the money, in the parah, but since there's a doubt whether you have a right to keep it or not, you have to bring a proof in order to keep it. See, also, why doesn't the farmer have to prove it, that the treifas first took place later? And if he can't prove it, he should have to give back the money. So Gemara says, I'll tell you, v'nukim b'delo yoyev tavcha demei. I'll tell you, here we're talking about that the butcher did not pay the money yet. And the question is, the farmer now is saying, listen, you owe me the money, so does the butcher have to pay him or not? So that's the shaila over here, that if the farmer wants to get the money, he has to prove it in order to get the money. For the Gemara, no, my piska, how do you not say exactly like that? The Guru says, stam, that hamitza mechver all over ayah. Who says without we're talking about that the butcher did not pay for it yet? Most probably, like we'll see later, he paid for it. And still we say that he has to bring a proof. It says hamitza mechver all over ayah, if I care, that the farmer, that the butcher probably gave the money. So the butcher wants to get his money back, he has to bring a proof to say that the treifus took place before he bought it. It's true that it's a kashan of Yudah Mashmuel. Zemora now is chesning. Zemora says, "Elo ki osti Rami by Yecheskel." That's Rabbi Yehuda's brother. When Rabbi Yehuda's brother Rami by Yecheskel came, Omri said like this: "Let it say sinu lahani kloli dekal Yudi achai. Don't listen to these rules that my brother Yud is telling you. Mishmei di Shmuel. What he's telling you over the name of Shmuel, but rather hochi yomah Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said." That kol shen loylat sofik rishusayin. Anytime there's a doubt created in your rishus, is all of haraya, then you have to bring the proof. It's like, therefore, by the Bala Poros, just the opposite. The Bala Poros, since the sofik is nearly when like the chamor is in his rishus already, we're talking about that the Bala chamor already made the meshicha. So he was like kind of the pora. Now when the Bala Poros wakes up to get his chamor, he finds out that the chamor is mates. So if he wants to get back his parah, it's all of love and raya. He has to bring a proof, like he's being mighty. And on this, for Tana Tuma, the Mishnah, we have a raya, Kala. We have a raya from the case of Kala. That's very good, the ratio of the Mishnah, that says that the father wants to be able to get the ksuba to be mighty the mumin, he has to bring a proof. So that's a good klal, that when you want to be mighty the mumin, you have to bring a proof. On this Meisver, we have a question, the case of Machat, Shenimtas Buva Beis HaKaisis. It says what? If you have a suffix, when did the treifus take place? Is it a mekich tois or not? So now, vidu lo yoyiv tafach demei, if the tabo did not pay the money yet, his baal behema boy lasuya rayu mafik. Says what? The baal behema has to bring a proof to say what? The treifus first took place later, and then he has a right to collect his money. The question is, v'amai, why? Suffix v'shus tafach is yolid. The suffix took place by the butcher. So since it took place by the butcher, you're telling me now wherever the suffer took place, he has to bring a proof. Says so the butcher for sure should have to pay the money? If he wants to make a tour not to have to pay the money, the chure has to bring a proof? So how come it says here no, that the vice says the moitzim fell over right, the butcher wants to get his money back? So Gemara says, we're talking about the yoyev tafach demei, we're talking about that the tafach already paid the money. So before it's the mashmawat, that he didn't pay the money yet. And if you want to free yourself from paying the money, it says you have to bring a proof. So the question is why? It was none of your rishus. You should have to bring a proof. Gemara says, I'll tell you, the yoyev tafach demei. Yeah, again, before we're talking about like this, it says about vidlo yoyev, the butcher didn't pay the money yet. Then we say, if the farmer wants to get his money, like he has to bring the proof. Is baal behema boy lasu yiraya? Because he's like called the mitzi. Now the farmer wants to get his money from the butcher. So he has to bring a proof to say the treifus first took place later. Here's the kasha, and then he collects his money. V'yamai, why? The chura sveika b'shus tafach is yolid. The suffer the treifus was first found by the butcher. So therefore the butcher for sure should have to pay the farmer the money, even if the farmer can't prove it. Still the butcher should have to pay him. Because the suffix we first found out about this doubt in the rishus, by the owner of the butcher. So then he has to pay the money. So Gemara says, I'll tell you we're talking about here, the yoyev tafach demei. We're talking about here, no, the butcher already paid the money. The question is, the butcher wants to get the money back. So if he wants to get the money back, he has to prove it that the treifus took place before. For the Gemara, my pisco, who told you for sure the butcher paid the money? Maybe we're talking about the butcher didn't pay the money yet. On this, the Gemara says, no, Stoma de Milsa most probably that Kama de lo yoyev in Zuzi, before a person pays for it, gives the money, lo yoyev in Chiyusa, the person doesn't give the merchandise. Like most probably the farmer did not give him the animal unless first he paid for the animal. So therefore we're talking about that the butcher gave the money. And then later the butcher made the shchita and found out that it was a treifa. So our doubt was, when did this treifa start? When did the hole come about? There was no huglat hamakah, there's no skeer bonnet, so we don't know how long ago it took place. But since we have a doubt, That's the halacha that if the farmer wants to, if the butcher wants to get his money back again, he's like be made to the mum, and he has to bring a proof. And if he doesn't bring a proof that the trade was took place before, he doesn't get his money back. Then it's good. Then it's good the way Rami Bar Yecheskel is saying over the name of Shmuel. Right, then the Gemara says, it says in the Mishnah, V'chom mayim nechom say, B'medvar amurim b'mum mishab b'seisar. When do we say the husband has the right to say, like it's a mekach toys, I didn't think I could, these are mumen I can't take. If it's a part of the body that's hidden, Mashenken, if it's an open part of the body, then the husband can't say it's a mekach toys. Like for sure we saw it already, and he said he could take it. So Mor says, Amur Rav Nachman, V'nichbe, a lady that has a sickness, that she faints, she falls down to the floor, is kumum and shebeseis adami. That's called a mum that the husband doesn't have to know about it. It's a hidden mum, like that if the husband made a condition she has no mumen, and we find out later she has this mum, the husband has the right to say it to make a toys. And the Gemara explains, behind the milu, when do we say this? The kfil ozman. It is a special time, let's say every morning, 9 o'clock, that's when she faints. So if it happens at a special time, she'll make sure that at that time she's not near her husband. So therefore we could say the husband did not know about it. Let's say there's no time exactly when it happens. She doesn't know when. Then we say, most probably the husband knew about it already, because she can't protect herself. She doesn't know when she's going to faint. And the husband knew about her, so for sure people also know about it. In other words, if it's a thing that she can't control, she doesn't know when she's going to faint, so for sure people find out that she's the type of a lady that faints. And most probably they told the husband already. Therefore, most probably the husband knew about it, and he said to himself, I could take it. Therefore, if now he wakes up and says it's a mekach tois, we don't believe him, it's not called a mekach tois. So up until now, we're talking about a case where the husband made a tanai that his wife does not have any mumim, and if we find out later she does have a mum, something's wrong with her body, we say it's called a mekach tois. Now the Mishnah says, what about the opposite case? Ho ish shenoldu boy mumim. Let's say a man, we'll see in the Gemara, even if after they got married, later something went wrong with his body, he has a mum, he has a growth on his body, and she can't take it. The law is, and we don't force the husband to give a get. And Amram Shimon Gamliel, the Medavar Mamurim, when do we say this? The mum haktanim. Only if they're small mumim. Then we don't force the husband to give a get, like it's tough on her, she got married to him already, and she has to stay with him. If it's very big mumim, then kaifin isolotzi. Then Yom Shimon Gamliel says we do force, like Bezdin forces the husband to give a get. And we'll soon see how he paskin. Tomorrow says Rabbi Yehuda, Tony of Yehuda learned in our Mishnah Noldu, that even in cases where when he got married he did not have this mum. Later on, after they were married, he have a new growth. Still, if she says she can't take it, we say, so what? You're married already, you have to stay together. We don't force the husband to give her a get. Chia Barav, Tony Chia Barav learns though, Hoyu. We're talking about the mum that he had before. So since he had it before, then we tell her, listen, you knew about it already. Now you decide you can't take it. It's tough. We don't tell the husband to give a get. But Mashma, if mumim first came about later, and she says she can't take it, then we would force the husband to give a get. So Gemara says, man, the yom noldu, the one that says, even in the case of noldu, what happens later, we don't force the husband to give a get, kol shchein hoyu, for sure, if the husband had the mumim before, that we don't force him to give a get. Why? To kesav rovi kibla, like she knew about it already, and obviously, she took it. She says she could take these mumin. So even if she changes her mind later, we don't force the husband to give her a get. But man, the one that says what? That he had these mumin before, that's when we don't force him to give a get. But in the case where the husband first got these growths, grew later, he has a mum later after they got married, then we would force the husband to give a get. Because then she has a right to say, I can't take this. I never knew you had this, and he didn't have these women when they first got married. So something first grows later, then we listen to her when she says she can't take him anymore, and we force him to give her a get. Tanaim went out like this. Omer Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon says in our Mishnah that b'med dvorim amurim, when do we say that's halacha, we don't force the husband to give a get, but mumim ketanim, only if they're small mums, a small growth. We'll soon see. Abu b'mumim gedolim, if it's a big growth, or we'll soon see what gedolim means, a big mum in his body, then kaifenais lohitzi. Then we do force the husband to give her a get. So why? Bishlei melamandiyam noldu. If you tell him, we're now talking about that these mumim, these scars, these mumim grew, we're talking about that grew now after they got married. So at the time of the marriage, she did not have it. So that's why she married him. Now later he has these new growths, and she says she can't take it. So that's good. That's what the difference between a very big growth, we say she has a right, she can't take it, we force him to give her get. But if it's a small one, it's not so bad, she has to take it. We're talking about that the husband had these things wrong with him at the time when they got married. What's the difference whether it's a big mum or a small mum? Both these cases, the wife already saw it on the husband before, and obviously she said that she could take it. So how come now she's allowed to wake up and say she can't take it, and we force him to give her a get? Gemara says, yes, still you could say. At the beginning, true, she knew he had this big mum, but she thought she was able to take it. The Yachshav, now she wakes up and says, no, I can't take this mum, it bothers me too much. So therefore, there's no proof exactly what does our Mishnah mean. Does it mean that the husband had the mum before, or no, even in the case where the mum first grow later? Then the Mar explains, what's called the big mum? That according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we force the husband to give a get, is Pirush Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kogoynismus Enoi. If one of the eyes become blind, Ros Nikta Yodoi, one of his hands were chopped off, Ros Venishpura Ragloi, one of his legs were broken. Such mumin, that's called the big mum, that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if the wife says she can't take it, we force the husband to give her a get. And Itmar, we learned from Abba Bar Yaakov, Omer Rav Yechanon, Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's like a pasuk like a Shimon Gamliel, that if it's a big mum like this, his eyes, one eye became blind, or one leg, or one foot, or one arm, then we'd force them to give a get. But Rav Amar, Rav says, Nisad Halacha, Rav Amar, Rav Nachman, Halacha Gedivrei Chachamim. No, we pasuk like the Tanna Kamma, even though it's a big mum, still we do not force them to give a get. That's Halacha. We tell the wife, like the story we had before, Tav lemeis of tandum and lemeis of armalor. A lady is always happy with any type of a husband she has. Avish is not alone. Therefore, we tell the wife she has to stay married to him. And we don't force the husband to give a get, even though he has a big mum. And she says she can't take it. Now the Gemara Sakasha, though, Umiyom Rabbi Yechon Hochi, did Rabbi Yechon say like this? That Rabbi Yechon had to say that he passed like a Shimon Gamliel, which would be mashm over here in our Mishnah, in this halacha, we paskin like him. But it could be other places we don't paskin like a Shimon Gamliel. Ivo Omar Rabba Bar Bachona, Omar Rab Yechanan, that Bechol Mokam Sheshon Rab Shimon Gamliel by Mishnah Seinu, any place wherever we learned, Rab Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah, is halacha kamaisoi. We always paskin like him. Rab Yechanan set a general rule, whenever you have Rab Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, you should know we always paskin like him. Then it's a kash, how come over here, Rabbi Yochanan had to say special, we paskin like an al mish, like a Shimon Gamliel. Like Rabbi Yochanan before said a general rule, we always paskin like a Shimon Gamliel. So it's a little of a kash, how come here he had to repeat himself like and say here also, halachas like him. Because he said a general rule, we always paskin like a Shimon Gamliel. Chutz excluding from three places, a case of Me'orev, Itzidim, Varai, Yachreina. But all other cases, we paskin like a Shimon Gamliel. So Gemara says, "I nechnami atayi amaroyin ninu v'alibud Rabbi Yechonon." Atayi it's a machlekes amaroyim. Alibud Rabbi Yechonon that this amar we learned Rabbi Yechonon how to say now mishnah halacha geshem gamliel because there could be other places maybe we don't pass on geshem ben gamliel and the other amar we learned in the name of Rabbi Yechonon that he says we always pass on geshem ben gamliel. Nechnami he would not have to learn again halach like an al mishnah like geshem ben gamliel. The core point of the halacha lemaskoner is where Rabbi says. We passed on like a chachamim that we never forced the husband to give his wife a get. However, the pesukim is brought down that's only like it says here if one eye becomes blind or if one leg or one arm. What about if both eyes become blind? Then the mafarshim say that's such a great mum, such a big mum. Then she does have a taina, and then we'll force the husband to give her a get. All right, a turnover.